Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast inspired by Polygon's Cool Games, Inc. I am your host, AJ Hart.
And I am your other host, Blake Rea. On this comedy game design podcast, we take your lovely ideas from the internet, from YouTube, Reddit,
not email, official channels.
Fuck you. And Raven. If you
tried to
Raven,
slip that into the front so I wouldn't catch it, and then I caught you, and yeah, it messed up your flow, didn't it?
Huh? I thought you were a really nice person who doesn't cut other people off, so I was like, I wanted to give you that, but
we've been doing this podcast for 50-some-odd episodes. You know I'm a trash goblin.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, like, we've been doing this podcast for 50 years.
You know I'm going to interrupt you.
I mean, shit, it does feel like it, doesn't it? Like, we only started this podcast, like...
It's been about a year and a half.
A year and a half ago? No, actually, no, not a year and a half ago. It's like a year and 2 months. March was only like 2 months ago, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's like 2-3 months ago. Yeah, it was 3 months ago. So we were able to do it for a year and 3 months.
Oh, but... God, this year has felt so long, Blake.
But it's been a lovely year. Actually, AJ, really quickly, I want to do that little shout-out thing we talked about, because I believe this episode's coming out while it's still June. I think. I just want to say, happy Pride Month to all of our LGBTQ listeners. We're looking at our analytics and our followers on Twitter, and we notice a good amount of the people who follow this podcast are LGBTQ+. So I just want to tell you that we love you, and that happy Pride Month for you guys.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah.
So happy Pride Month. Hope you're out there having fun,
yeah,
but not having out there too much, because there is a pandemic.
Wear a mask, you hooligan. All right, AJ.
As you've most certainly guessed on this podcast, we take your lovely ideas and turn them into the next AAA title. Blake.
God, we do.
You got a video game for me?
I do. But like, now that I think about it, I think you and I repeat our slogan like at least 2 or 3 times when we
it's
do our
intros. It's because sometimes we go in for it, and then the curdle is always trying to go from our chuckle ha-has into the show. You know,
yeah,
we got to have that nice and spicy cold open, and then we have to like kick ass for the show. And how do you segue into it? Do you segue into the first submission?
By repeating oneself and making listeners upset.
Sometimes we go on to the segue, and one of us clotheslines the other one by interrupting them and making them no longer on the segue. And then we have to kind of get the segue back up, get it on it again, and then cruise into our destination.
Mm-hmm. All right, AJ, I have a submission for you, if you would so very much like one. This one comes to us on, I believe this might be a new submitter. Actually, no. I do. I have seen a submission by them before. This comes to us on Reddit, on spiritual underscore successor on Reddit, by Stingray DM, a back scroller adventure game where you can only see what's behind you. So I'm picturing something like Mario. You know, like in Mario, where the position of the character is either at the center of the screen or at the very far left, and you can see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Now imagine that, but unplayable. So it's like you are on the far right of the screen, but you still can only see, or actually no, you're on the far left of the screen, but you need to be moving towards the left. So you have to like react. Or
you know what this reminds me of?
What?
This reminds me of our good friend Sonic the Hedgehog.
He's not like a knight. Actually, no, he is a knight. He did have the game Sonic and the Black Knight, and he did become a knight. So it is Sonic the Hedgehog, yes.
Sir Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh.
In Sonic the Hedgehog Adventure 2 Battle, mm-hmm, there's the incredible Escape the City sequence, and at the end of it, you're like running down a hill, and you have the big semi-truck cruising after you.
Oh my god, that's the one that has like the famous butt rock song, right?
Hell yeah, it does. As the greatest song ever made, period, actually. Like,
really? What?
Escape the City's the greatest rock song ever made.
Isn't there like some crazy like story behind that song? Like it was written by a band called like We're 50, and it's just like a bunch of rock stars who were like 50 years old at the time.
What?
Yeah, like that the band who made that, Escape the City, was by... Oh, no, it was like I remember watching Game Grumps and they talked about that. Escape the City by... Oh, God. What's the name of the band?
Crush 40?
Crush 40, that's right, because they were all in their 40s, and they were like, we're going to crush our 40s. And I think that's just such a cool fucking name for a band, but please continue your story.
Well, I was just thinking that, like, I love that level, except for that Monster Truck, or not Monster Truck part. God, could you imagine if there was a Monster Truck chasing Sonic the Hedgehog?
Basically was, and it wouldn't surprise me. Like, I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog is all about that, like, big, crazy set piece kind of vibe. And
hold
I feel
on
like
a second.
A
Why was the semi-truck trying to run down Sonic the Hedgehog?
Because it was part of the military. It was like, it was a military.
Oh, it was a military
it was
semi-truck.
A military semi-truck that was trying to run him down. Yeah, it was. Well, that because that was the whole thing. Like, the military showed up and they're like, Sonic, we gotta arrest you, man. And he's like.
In their defense, Sonic the Hedgehog did leap out of a helicopter, steal a propeller blade from the helicopter, absolutely damning those pilots.
Oh my
to
God,
death.
You're right. He did. And straight up kill those guys off screen. Oh fuck, I didn't even think about that. So dude, Sonic the Hedgehog's a cold-blooded murderer. So okay.
So, but what I want to talk about here is just like the frustration of that level is like you only see behind you. You don't see where
oh
Sonic
God,
is going.
You're right. So like you have to.
Crash Bandicoot also had levels like this, and they sucked so much. I hated those levels.
And
in
that's
Crash
why
Bandicoot.
We gotta build this game, because the whole game is gonna be that. Because you know what's gonna be crazy is it's gonna build this crazy speedrunning culture that's like, oh, you have to play through the level a bunch of times to know where all the power ups are, where all the collectibles are, and you just have to like ingrain that into your memory so you can do a perfect run of it. So, like, this game is going to suck for general people, but there's going to be, like, a lot of speedrunners on it. So, is this a Sonic the Hedgehog game that's all about that? Or do we want to create our own quirky, like... Actually, AJ, you know you and I have never done on Spiritual Successor?
Created our own furry OCs?
No. No, we've done that. We totally have done that. Remember, I had the conversation where I had an owl who wears a scarf and likes to, like, read and shit. And then you chose another bird, right?
Sure.
I feel like we've had this conversation. I don't know. Either way, I have an owl with a scarf for Sona, whatever.
Well, we haven't created our own Sonic OCs.
Well, what I was thinking is every game company has a mascot. We don't have a mascot. What is our mascot that people will make like either furry fan art of or crazy memes because Mario memes are a thing.
It's a ghost with a microphone and a headset.
God, I love that. Wow, done. AJ, you like hit that out of the fucking park. Holy shit, that makes total sense because it's like Spiritual Successor. It's like it's like our ghost is like some like and we create this lore that there's like a mysterious, like they were a famous game designer from back in the day, but nobody knows their real identity. So we can just be like, we can take elements of like, I mean, he's not dead, but like Hideo
Kojima.
Our
mascot is just Kojima, but if you put him through like 8 filters so he looked like a ghost and then photoshopped headphones onto
him.
Well,
I was actually just picturing it's a sheet ghost with like a mic and headphones. That's it. So, oh my God. Okay, so this game is about a ghost like having to move backwards through a level, and it's just a platformer.
Yeah, it's just a platformer, but nobody can see what they're jumping around or into. They're just going to have to do it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and every time it does restart them at the beginning of the level.
Well, I think it would be kind of. You know, what'd be really cool actually. Your character doesn't stop moving to the left. So it's like kind of like a maze where it's like there's there's different like tracks you can be on. You can be at the bottom, the middle, or the top track, and you have to remember as you're going through the level, like you and the moment you hit a wall or something like in a maze, you have to start the maze all over again. So it's like it's just a constant, and it instantly puts you back. So it's not like you have to wait a loading time. You're just moving left and you have to like, oh, gotta go up, gotta go down, then I have to
what
jump.
What I like about this
a
lot is like you can't tell if you're gonna be hitting a dead end until your character stops moving, and then you're like, ah, beans, I gotta restart again, and we're just gonna waste time. So much time is going to go into this game.
Oh yeah, man, like it's, and then you know we're gonna have like people who are gonna spend 100 plus hours on this. That's gonna look great for sales, and then
the Steam numbers on this are gonna look so choice.
Wait, what?
The Steam numbers? Isn't there like a thing in Steam where it can tell you how many like hours people have put into this game?
Yes. There's a whole Reddit dedicated to people giving nasty reviews on Steam, but they only played like less than an hour. It's like they play 10 minutes but then give these like 3-page long reviews that are just like really spiteful and awful. It's really fun.
The alternative is the reviews that are really bad, and then you see that they've put like 150 hours into that video game. And you're like, damn, dude, you must have really hated this game.
I hated it so much, I just wanted to play it. I just wanted to play it out of spite. Actually, I feel like I've played a game out of spite before. I've played Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain kind of out of spite. Because like I wanted to like it so bad. I saw the trailers, I saw like the amount of like stuff you can do, customization to mother base, the amount of like options you have for combat and like maneuvering your character is just really, really cool. But then like I kept like telling, be like, no, this game is gonna get good, this game is gonna get good, but it never fucking gets good for me because it's just outrageous. But like somehow
you're coming
I still
into the
wanted
game,
to
like
play
eight games late.
No, like I there were some situations where I felt like I wish I knew the characters, like because Ocelot's in it, and I'm like, okay, all I know about Ocelot is that he juggles guns for 5 minutes in one game.
That is all you need to know about him.
that's fair, you know. But like for the most part, because it's a I can't say that because that is well, the game's been out for like 6-7 years, right? It follows a new story for Snake, so it doesn't really matter that you didn't know stuff prior. You know what I mean?
No, but I also haven't played any of those games.
well, what I'm saying is the story is wholeheartedly original, and you don't need to have the context of the characters beforehand to experience it.
Gotcha.
In my opinion, which is kind of cool. I think that was the point of the game, because it was meant to be for people who are new to the whole series. But you know, I don't know.
So you just play through that game, gritting your teeth, waiting for it to get good, and it never did.
Yeah, but like I kept being like, I played out of spite because like everybody has told me like Metal Gear Solid games are amazing, and Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain is regarded as one of the better ones of them, because it's just, it was an open world that had so many different options and ways to play. And a lot of people regarded it as an amazing 10 out of 10 game. And I was like, it's going to fucking get good. It's going to fucking get good. I'm going to see what this is about. I'm going to see what everybody's all hyped about. And then it never did. But but weirdly enough, I still kind of want to play it. Just
got to go back.
But yes. That's the slogan for our side-scroller game. Got to go back.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of got to go fast, it's just got to
go. Got to go back.
Got to go back.
I got a video game suggestion.
All right, tell me about it, brother. Hey, AJ, would you be upset if I just started playing Escape from the City
right now?
Yeah, in the background.
I don't know if it'll show up on the, you know what, just for like S's and G's, I'll slap in a little bit of that track right now. I mean, we're already breaking some music copyright
laws.
Can
you do the one where it's like the chorus leaning around at the speed of sound, that one, that
got
part,
got places that's to go, gotta follow my rainbow.
Oh, that's a line in that. Oh my god, I love that.
Something
that's
like
fucking
that
inspirational. Gotta follow my rainbow. I want that on a t-shirt.
All right. This suggestion here comes from Connor Rain on Twitter, at Connor Rain. Cooking mama, but every recipe is a depression meal.
AJ, what is the saddest meal you've ever cooked yourself?
So cook is here's my thing. I don't want to create a game that puts out bad energies in the world.
AJ, are games that are not supposed to be made.
And so what I want to do instead is create a game that, instead of like your depression meals, I don't do depression meals. I do what I refer to as childhood snacks.
Are you saying depression and childhood are the same thing?
I'm saying that my family sometimes, when we were like, uh-oh, time to eat, but we don't really want to cook something, tortilla and butter. Top-tier snack. Tortilla and butter is like a top-tier snack,
what?
Dude. Yeah, it's the same as like buttered bread. It's just a tortilla.
Actually, holy shit, you're right. Why? Yeah, holy shit, I judged that way too fast. That's actually like the same fucking thing.
You feel stupid now, don't you?
I do feel stupid. That sounds lovely. You want to know
another really good meal that I like to do that's really quick and easy? I call it nachos in a bag. You get some like mock meat, some Morningstar meat, and a bag of Doritos, and maybe some salsa, and you crunch up the Doritos, and then you heat up the mock meat, and then you just put the mock meat in the bag with the Doritos, pour a little salsa, maybe a little bit of cheese, boom.
Oh my god.
Nachos in a bag.
You know what my two favorite things to eat as a kid was? That's what? Like ingenious. That actually, like, that's like, oh, it's just convenient. That's really nice.
It is a go-to meal for me when I'm like, I don't really want to cook, but I've got a bag of Doritos kicking around.
As a kid, I would just take two pieces of bread, some ham, and some mozzarella cheese, and I just microwave it and just eat it that way. No condiments. Just a wet fucking sandwich. Just eat
like,
that.
I think that calling these depression meals is a little bit like, it's a little bit reductive, because what these are college power trips. Well, is really what they are. They're the things that you eat in college when you have complete power over what you're going to consume.
I don't know. Like, I feel, speaking of college, do you remember that one guy who made, like, it was the college professor that released these videos for the internet about, like, easy to make meals at home? It's the guy that they paired the sad music to, because he's like...
I was about to ask, are you talking about the sad microwave man?
Yeah, the sad microwave guy. So it's a game all about you just like, oh, AJ, actually, wait, I know it. I know how this game is going to work. So do you remember the game Little Inferno?
No.
So
what is that?
I know you and I have talked about on the podcast before. I would so recommend it to you because it's just such an amazingly unique way of telling a story in a video game. So this is a world where it's always snows and it's depressing. I believe it's supposed to be Victorian Britain. All you have is a fireplace in your home that you can just throw things into. So like you can order things by mail. Like you can order a can of snakes. You can order weird fluffy pinatas. You can order like a bunch of other things and you could just put it in the fire. And when you burn things in the fire, it spits out money that you can then purchase more things with. And then you're also getting letters and mail from like your neighbors who are also doing the same thing. You're getting letters from like the company that sells the Little Inferno like fireplace.
Okay.
And it's just, and you're just looking at this fireplace and it all takes place within that. And then crazy stuff happens towards the end of the game that I really don't want to spoil. It's a really
wonderful
experience.
Yeah, but it's essentially like a little idle game.
Yes. So I think we're just looking into a microwave and we're trying to figure out meal combinations that we can, that are like really sad and there's like really depressing fucking music. And it'd be kind of funny if we got the sad nachos guy to do all the narration. So like say if you got like a letter of a recipe or something. Actually, you know what's an even better a good example that we could do too is what's the name of the game? It's Markiplier did an amazing game. It's something Liberty.
Presentable Liberty.
You know, like how you were, it's the same method where it's like you're getting letters with shit in it that you can
an idle game with a passive narrative.
Yes. So we do something like that where it's like maybe you're just in your kitchen and everything you're getting is like stuff you can get like notes or pictures of people having more fun than you and put it up, magnetize it on your fridge.
The presented narrative or passive narrative that you get is like you're sitting at a microwave kind of like throwing combinations together and then you put them in the microwave and then like however long it's cooking for is when your character's like scrolling through socials on your phone.
Oh, so like,
and that's
when
how
you
you're like
text
seeing
message.
The story given out, like maybe you see a text message from a friend and they're like, oh, check out my Instagram, and then you go to the Instagram and you see that and oh man, this is gonna get Bummersville, like this is just like a game that's like about a person
living,
cooking their depression meals, generating their own FOMO.
Oh, interesting. So it's like there, it's a person burning through Instagram about like people texting about their, hi, I'm in Maui and I'm eating this like four course like barbecue meal or something like that. And it's just like, where's the story though? Because this is like super actually a fucking
bummer. Yeah, this is just a Bummerville.
Okay, let's talk about how our game ends. Our game ends with like this person graduating from college and realizing that, you know what, that was just a temporary point in their life and that's not forever and they don't need to be looking at social media. So like the whole point of the game is to look at your phone less and you just kind of become more present and you start noticing beautiful things about the world around you. Like there's, hey, there's that note on the fridge from a friend. Like maybe I should text them and then it goes into this whole storyline of like actually developing relationships over social media and things like that. Something that just takes away from
there we go. Yeah. Like the game starts off with like this like really sad, like Bummersville energy. But then like, I love this idea that like maybe there's a level of like agency that you can start to have in the world. And maybe that would help out. And so like, yeah, like you see a message and someone's like, oh, I didn't like this meal very much. And then if you could go in and message them and be like, dude, I got this sweet hookup. Here's what you're going to want to do, my man.
Mm-hmm.
2 pieces of bread, mm-hmm. 1 piece of ham, 2 pieces of cheese sticks. Throw it in the microwave and it's going to be killer.
I call it a wet sandwich. I know, don't let the
name
fool
you. Is that what you called it, Blake?
No, I never had a name for it. I just ate it. And, you know, it was... I you know what's so funny about that? It was like, I actually have, like, really good memories of that sandwich because it would just be something I'd go visit, you know, my girlfriend at her house. This is a girlfriend I had for, like, over 5 years. And they always just had a bunch of that stuff lying around. So I would remember just... eating that and just hanging out and just watching movies. And it just like, it was like a weird, it reminds me of like a, that simple, just like depression food, you know, not depression in the sense of like, makes me depressed, but like, it's just a sad thing to look at. But I remember it being paired with such happy things.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I know that sometimes when I'm like kind of feeling down, I'm totally fine putting just a horrible monstrosity into my gullet. something that me and my sister used to do all the time was just like just cheese and a quesadilla. And we would or like a cheese and a tortilla.
Yeah.
Throw that into the microwave and nuke it. And like it is horrible on my body.
Yeah.
But like whenever I eat that, I'm like, oh, I remember like it's sitting around with my sister over summertime, just hanging out, cracking jokes.
Oh, you know, be so cool. Actually, AJ, here's the game. Here's the game. We do it something like fire. What's the name of that game? Is it Firewatch or it's the one where you're like the ranger who's like kind of like discussing flashbacks of his.
Wait.
Of his. So I'm thinking is like you are in the present and you are like nuking something. But the moment you nuke something, it gives you into a flashback narrative where you're like remembering why this food is so important to you while you're cooking it right now. So like say we do like our main character is like has a bag of Doritos and some mock meat and some cheese and just decide to mix it. And then the moment they take a bite of it, you get to like go to a flashback that explores the narrative more.
So I would argue that like maybe it's not that ingrained because I love this idea of like the passive narrative. I almost would prefer this idea of like if you create the right combination and throw it into the microwave, then something within the kitchen area that you are in appears.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like this idea that maybe like let's say that you combine to make the ham sandwich that you make. Mm-hmm. You throw that in the microwave and you hear a ding. You turn around, you look at the fridge, and now there's a note on the fridge that's like, maybe it's from an old friend or an old flame or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, don't be afraid to reach out sometime.
Aww.
And then you can go into the phone and then you can reach out.
Yeah. So it like your contacts list grows, basically.
Yes.
So it'll be like kind of like how Catherine handled their phone thing. Where, like, you can actually, I don't know if you've ever, no, you've played Catherine, right?
Yes.
You can send text to people, but you don't pick what those texts are. You can just press send text or call them, and it's a yes or a no. And you can do that whenever you want. So it's something similar like that. It's like, okay, here's this relationship. I can have this much conversation with them before I need to cook my next meal. So, like, you have to cook more meals to unlock more like texts or calls or messages or things like that.
So the game is like, I think it's like,
this is more of like an experience kind of game rather than like a game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
It's not like a video game. My thought is like, you're in like the game fires up and you're like in a kitchen and there's like a variety of different menus that you can go to, but each menu is kind of structured as if this person was like turning in their kitchen to look at a different thing. There's like the cupboard, the fridge, the microwave and the phone.
Mm-hmm. But where the comedy and the contrast comes from is all of the meals have to be gross amalgamations.
Yeah, they're all things that you grab from the oven, or they're all things that you grab from like the cupboard and the fridge. You put those things together, you put it in the microwave. Yep. If you make the right combination of something, you'll get a ding. The story progresses a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's lovely. I like that. All right. This is a fun, heartfelt game, and I love it. But we need to make some games that shouldn't be made.
All right. Hit me with something.
It's my turn? Oh, man.
Yes.
You know, I do love, like, making the occasional, like, heartfelt game. I'm always for that. And then I'm super down to just give you something to follow it up with. This one comes to us on our Reddit from MiniAce2009. They say, whatever game this would be, it's just Cat Girl Chipotle. So, Is this a restaurant managing simulator?
Man, fuck this podcast. I'm going to cat girl Chipotle right now.
Fuck, everybody loves a cat girl or a cat boy or a cat person. Everybody loves cat people. It's just, I think it's something that unites us as a society.
No, this is cat girl Chipotle. If you want to go to cat boy Arby's, you can go to
it's cat boy Sharky's, because it only is for burritos. And only burrito adjacent restaurants. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's, oh my god, that's part of our narrative, is that they're going head to head. It's cat girl Chipotle versus cat boy Sharky's. And
so
it's like
how
a visual
would Chipotle
novel
be?
Like sort of thing where it's could you do, no, I was thinking like something like what's that one series you play? It's the one where it's like the two families that are going head to head, but it's medieval.
Family Feud?
No. It's no. Sure, whatever. All right, well, I'll play with that. Like Family Feud's awesome on the Switch. Actually, it's Family
Feud.
Here's
what I would say. We need to analyze how would Chipotle be different if it was being ran by cat girls. And here's what I will say.
They cook with nothing but their tails, AJ. Easy.
Well, here's what I was going to propose. As we all know, it is impossible to give a cat a command. You and I both know Gibbs owns you. Gibbs makes the rules.
That's fair. So it literally,
I
is
have
just
three cats in my
cats.
Home, and if I want them to sit where I want them to sit, I have to pick them up and place them where I want and hope to God they stay still.
So
the
you're
Cat
just...
Girl Chipotle is a mini game where you are attempting to make an order for your Chipotle, and you have to, it's like a puzzle game of like, how do you get the cat girl to put the correct ingredients onto your Chipotle burrito?
And like each level is different. Like say you're the manager that has to herd these cats.
No, you are the person making the order.
No, I think you need to be the manager, because you can do a thing where it's like Diner Dash, where multiple customers come in and each one presents its own unique puzzle. So it'd be like, hey, This guy wants extra avocado, so I need to make sure the avocado cat girl is not fidgeting with like the sink, like pawing at the droplets that are coming out of it. But they'll only focus on the avocado station for like a couple of seconds before they get distracted again. So you need to do a thing where it's like, I need to make sure this person's here first, so the other person will be at their station or something. Like that's, I think that would be more fun than just being a person ordering.
Okay, like, that's fair.
Because it wouldn't make sense while you, as the customer, are telling the workers what to do.
When you go into Chipotle, you're trying to get your burrito. Like, when I go into Chipotle, I'm like, hey, I need a burrito. I need it with a little bit of rice, because I'm really going to be loading this thing up on the second half, and I need to make sure that you're not going to front load me here.
I totally agree with you on that, but like, I'm trying to think of the logic of like, what agency does a customer have over an employee? That's why
a laser pointer.
Well, we could also make this a co-op game where like it's a mandatory co-op game. So say you and I are playing this, you play the manager. Actually, I play the manager, you play the customer. So you and I need to work together to direct these cat girls into making fucking bitchin' burritos.
Dude, okay, so it's you know, what was that one game the guys on Node played it, where like some people could play with a controller and some people played in VR?
Oh, are you talking about the one where you have to find the person, or?
I was thinking more of the one where one person places a big giant and the other person places a little dude with a rocket launcher.
Oh, yes, I know the game you're talking about. Let me go find it really quick, because that's a really bitchin' game that I think we need to play on BF4 one of these days.
What I'm essentially proposing is the idea of this game being like an asymmetric co-op game where one person plays as the Chipotle manager and they can kind of assign where a cat girl goes, and they can try to like coordinate the cat girls to make the most efficient burrito making environment. The person in VR is then given physics tools to try to lure the cat girls into creating the burrito that they need.
Also, the name of that game is Davigo.
Davigo is a very cool game.
Yes. So just to explain what that is a person is a giant with two hands, and they're the person in VR, and they're surrounded by a bunch of smaller people that are trying to hit the Goliath with rockets. It's supposed to be like a David and Goliath thing, and all the people who aren't in VR are operating on controllers or, you know, like their computer to throw rocks and other things to hit the Goliath. So you're picturing something like one person is in VR?
Yeah, one person is in VR with physics tools trying to get the girl, the cat girls, to make the burrito. They have the laser pointer, they have like a clicker, and they've got like they have the tools. They have catnip, and hey, I'll make you a deal. I've got a lot of catnip here, so I need a lot of those black beans.
But where the puzzle part comes in is that if you use catnip, they are like, just you can get their attention for like one short bit of time, but then they're just like high out of their mind the rest of the round.
Yeah, if I use catnip on the beans cat girl, you need to swap that beans cat girl out because she's going to be on a trip for the next like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm, and she won't.
I needed a lot of beans on that burrito, so I gave her so much of that good, good.
You have to like, you need to put her in the back room
and let her chill out for a little bit. Put her in the chill out tent because she's going places.
There has to be a cat tree, but it's like people sized, like in the fucking corner where just like they could go chill out. But it's just a fucking human size. God, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I always wanted to have like a human sized like cat thing. Like I'm so fucking jealous.
Like a big people sized cat tree.
Yeah, dude. Like, because cats have it so fucking easy. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Anna Akana decorated their apartment to where they have like these jungle gyms that run along like their wall and ceiling for their cats. Like they're these wooden bridges that you just like peg into your wall. And I'm like, I'm always fucking jealous of cats because they get cool shit like that.
To be fair, I don't know if all cats get that. I think just Anna Akana's cats get that.
No, that's like I don't know. But like, I can be jealous of Anna Akana's cats, AJ.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? That's fair.
So we have to work together in communicating how to deal with these cat girls who have the attention span of literal cats.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right. It's your turn, buddy. Give me a game.
All right. What do we got here?
Also, Cat Girl Chipotle is just a bitchin' name.
It's a very fun thing to say, actually. I'm having a lot of fun just saying those words out loud. What next? Oh, we have so many good ones here.
Dude, we had so many submissions this week. It's pretty crazy. I love you guys. It's like looking back to like where we were like a year and 2 months ago, where we were just kind of like stealing submissions from the Cool Games Inc. Reddit, to being like, hey, we have like 30 plus people shoot us submissions like every week. Like that's bizarre. That's like so much. That's so fucking awesome, and I'm so grateful for that. gimme AJ.
This comes from Aiden Kedzierski on Twitter. Aiden Keds. And also from their friend at Crunchy Reds.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Before you give it really quick, I just want to say thank you, Aiden, for your lovely email. Like, that was really, really sweet of you. We're very, very grateful.
That email was from this person. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. That was really kind of you. Aiden suggests, my friend created the poster for the next most popular game ever, and I thought y'all would like to come up with what the game is actually about. And the image is Waleo Combat Evolved. I think it's the Halo Combat Evolved image.
It's just Halo, but
except they put a W and an E in there to make Waleo Combat Evolved. Also, they changed the bottom to create what looks like a whale tail.
Okay, so I love this because is this just gonna be like a first-person shooter with giant whales? Because like that idea alone is like, fuck yes, sign me up. So
what you're imagining is who's the fucking angry pirate guy that wanted to kill the big space? Well, he wanted to kill a big normal white whale.
Oh, you mean Ahab from Moby Dick?
Space Ahab.
Space Ahab.
Hear me out. It's a whaling game, but in space.
Okay.
Now, I understand that maybe there's a little bit of moral gray area about the business of whaling, but trust me, in space everything is legal.
How about this, AJ? How about we turn it on its head a little bit?
Space whales are evil.
No,
we must kill them all.
No, space whales are like are being hunted, but we're hunting the hunters. So it's like It's Moby Dick, but the reverse. It's like we have a whale with a fucking gun, and it is trying, just a straight up gun, and it is trying to hunt Ahab. Because whaling's fucked up. Like, whaling's a horrible fucking thing that is a reality. And I think it would be great if we just gave a whale a 1911, or a space pistol, whatever you want to do. Okay, but it's so like
we are a space whale with a gun.
Yeah,
and we are on our way to kill Captain Ahab.
Yeah, combat evolved.
He got away
dude.
From us once, but he won't get away from us a second time.
See, I think you could do a cool thing. Like, so here's the story. Here's the story of this game. Whales, beautiful fucking creatures, by the way. I love them. I love whales. They're cool. They're the biggest mammal in the world. They are being hunted to extinction on Earth, and they decide, I don't know what happens, but somehow they get smart enough to invent space travel.
The ocean's really big, so if they go to the bottom of it and they swim up as fast as they can and they get a running start, they can just launch right out of this bad boy.
So, sure. And then they just... And
bro,
it turns,
that's physics.
And we discovered that whales, because they're so big, they can survive in the vacuum of space. That's science, you know?
That is science. They can generate their own oxygen.
They have bristly teeth, so they can, like, comb through, like, space, the vacuum, and find the oxygen. That's how they live. So now they crash land on some alien planet gives them all of the things... What it allows them to carry guns, like they learn how to carry guns. So now we have Space Force Ahab hunting whales in space, and then we play the whales like destroying Ahab. So
did the white whale have a name?
I think it was Moby Dick.
That would make sense. Yeah, I didn't read the book, so. I did not read that book.
Don't worry about it. It's a very dry book from what I have heard.
How'd they make a dry book in the ocean?
Yes. Moby Dick is a...
My joke didn't land. Hold on. How'd they make a dry book when it's about the ocean? You'd think it'd be a very wet book.
Well, it turns out nobody mentioned it, but that whole book does take place in space. So that's why it's so dry. So
what we're creating here.
Mm-hmm.
First question I need to know.
Uh-huh. Are there vehicles that you can use in our whale game?
No, you're a whale. Whales can't drive. They can only operate guns with their telekinesis.
I love the idea of a whale just being on like the back of a flatbed. And just fucking, that's, it's just a whale with wheels, but like they're useless because they're in space, so they're just aesthetic wheels.
What is the gameplay here? Because I'm going to tell you what I immediately thought of when I thought about a space whale in space trying to fight off space whalers.
That was a sentence, all right. Tell me about it.
It's a shmup.
A shmup?
That's what those are called, right? With those bullet hell games that where you're just kind of like... streaming along.
I have never heard of shmup before. Are you saying this is something like Enter the Gungeon?
No. What's a... Like, Galaga is a shmup.
Oh, so like you are locked on a horizontal part of the screen as things come towards you.
Yeah, I would almost argue, would Star Fox count as a shmup?
I don't know. Well, yeah, because...
you're on rails.
Yeah, it's a rail... So...
It's a railway shooter, but you control yourself. I like the idea of this game playing like Star Fox, actually. I like that very much. I love that so
fucking
deeply.
Sweet, like the just like the electromagnetic waves of Titan are roaring below you, but you're just flying above them as you're taking out like ships that have like fucking like anti-gravity stuff. So it's like it's straight up wooden ships. But it's like they have like space thrusters on them. So it's like it's a lot like a fucking Treasure Planet. So it's like,
yeah,
it has,
it's like Treasure Planet aesthetics, but space whales.
Yes. And you are like on it's a railway shooter where you're playing a whale in between levels, or actually during levels, you can collect scrap with your big ass mouth. And then you can apply those to give yourself different guns and shielding
and armor.
God, armor on fucking whales. Like, would be so cool. Imagine a whale in, like, knight's armor. Like, medieval knight armor. and like they can pop up like the little visor to where you can see their face, but then they can like when shit gets real, they can just like nod their head down like Iron Man and it just comes down. Oh fuck, I'm into that.
It's so such a good visual.
So if this is the story of our game, is this like the last living whale and it's just like a revenge tale?
I think it is a revenge tale while you, Moby Dick, Space Moby Dick, are on your way to kill Captain Ahab, Pirate King.
You say Space Moby Dick, but I say Space Dick for short.
Space Dick. You play a Space Dick on your way to go
joke,
kill.
I'm sorry.
Nope, you said it, and it's canon, this is how the writing room
works. Canon, baby!
You play as Space Dick. You are on your way to kill the Pirate King. Captain Ahab.
Fucking sweet.
Space Pirate King, I'm sorry. Captain Ahab. Mm-hmm. Because he's destroyed so many of your friends and family.
Yes.
This is a Star Fox-esque game where there's complete upgrade paths. You can get new weapons, get mm-hmm. new armor, get new skills maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's like, I love the idea of guns. Like eventually you can get an upgrade where the guns orbit you, the space whale.
Oh, like auto, like it's like it's like an auto gun where it'll just like, it won't do a whole lot of damage, but it's something that can do a consistent DPS to just like nearby enemies. It's like it's like an auto aiming thing.
And one thing, because again, this is a AAA title and I want to steal something from Nier Automata, one of the greatest games I've played in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nier Automata would do this thing where sometimes the camera would adjust so that like sometimes it's like a third person action game and then sometimes the camera would go completely up above the character and it'd become a bullet hell.
Oh,
or like sometimes
shit.
It would like the camera would rotate to the side and it would be a side scroller. Mm-hmm. And so I like this idea of like, well, its core gameplay is like this Star Fox, like you have like a full maneuverability around the screen and to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are times where like the camera pans up and it becomes like a normal traditional shmup. Or but maybe
it
the become, camera
it be- basically becomes a game of asteroids at that point.
Yeah.
Where it's just like it zooms out and suddenly it's just your top down while Space Dick is in the center of the screen, and then suddenly they're being approached from all sides on like just like ships and meteors and other things that they need to like destroy before it hits them.
Yes. Or like maybe there's another one where like it scrolls to the side and it's like you're near the final boss and Captain Ahab's like, fire everything we have. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like a full bullet hell as you're just kind of going up and down to try to dodge everything as it comes mm-hmm. in.
Can I give like one aesthetic like choice here?
Other than it looking exactly like the aesthetic from Lost Planet.
I was
Treasure
think-
Planet. Sorry,
I,
not Lost Planet.
I was
Planet.
Thinking it's no lasers, no traditional shit. All of the guns are just shoot spears and nautical things.
Yes.
So like the grenade launcher isn't a grenade. It's a cannonball, or it shoots a fucking anchor at like the ship, like a whole ass anchor. So just like like a steampunk nautical kind of vibe to everything, but it's in space. God, why wasn't Treasure Planet more like popular? Like what the fuck, man?
Because some things are too good for this universe.
God, dude, like shit. There was like so many good movies during that era. Like remember Anastasia and how great that movie was?
Anastasia. I only ever want to be thinking about Treasure Planet is the thing. That game shaped my flavor for sci-fi aesthetics.
It's pretty fucking bitchin'. It's bitchin'. Wonderful. All right. We should do some lightning round stuff and then we got to decide on our nug.
Okay. Let's hit some lightning rounds.
I have one for you.
Okay.
Hold on. I just had my picture back open to freaking. Also, that was. Did you mention that was a that Waleo was a shared post from Crunchyroll?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes, I did.
Okay. This one comes to us from Dustin. Oh, please forgive me for butchering your last name, my friend. Dustin Meyer or Meyer at Dustin _Meyer. Wario Hammer 40K. So, I want to do a tabletop battle strategy game with the Mario boys. And each army is like a different thing. You have like Bowser's army, which is all the Koopas. You have Wario's army, which is like just a bunch of...
Well, Bowser's army is like, it's a lot of really bad characters. Like, it's like you have Bowser and then you have like 100 little Goombas.
Yeah, you have
the Koopa kids is like a group of 8 very, very good units, but that's mm-hmm. all they have on the field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mario is like this one man power monstrosity. He's an unkillable destruction, all hell may.
He's basically the he's the Imperial Knights, where it's just like you just need one big ass unit, and then it could just fucking send waves of people. And then you have Princess Peach, or you have like the Princess's Army, which is just all of the famous princesses from the Mario games,
and Toads
and Toadette, yes. And they're just going to town. So I feel like you could do a thing. Like all of the terrain is just various stuff from the Mushroom Kingdom, and it's just it's that.
That's and you have Yoshi, who has a unique ability of being able to consume the other player's pieces. And when your Yoshi does that, you do then have legal ownership over your enemy's little figures.
Well, I feel it could be a
thing. That's in the rule book.
Like,
sorry,
I feel it was more of a thing where Yoshi is actually useless by himself. But if it gets within 6 inches of an enemy unit, he can roll to capture them and then use them as a ranged weapon.
And if I had Yoshi on the field and I took it and I choose not to use your Luigi, I own your Luigi now. Its possessions are 9/10 of the law. I own it.
It's always
if someone
fun.
Puts Yoshi on the field, they're looking to steal your stuff. Oh, don't trust a Yoshi player.
It's just like you just create like an army of elites that's all is just Yoshis. And then it's just like by the end of the game, it's just you own their entire army.
I own this whole army now.
I'd love that. I love that. All right. Give me another lightning round.
I got one from Joe Langluis. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. At the Giuseppe. By the way, Giuseppe, when you come in onto the show... Like Kerbal Space Program, but you build an automated robots that fight each other.
Mm-hmm. So
you put all the little pits together and you're like, all right, I know that these robots are going to go out and they're going to absolutely wreck shop. I just hope that my leg structures are enough that it does not cripple itself within four
steps. You didn't bind everything properly. No, the thing about Kerbal, and I think a lot of the enjoyment comes from me, it's not necessarily... like seeing how far I can get or seeing like how complex of a thing I can make. It's just like just seeing my lack of understanding laid bare in front of me. It's just like I create a rocket and I'm like, OK, cool. This will likely work. And then I realize there's a complete mechanic of the game that I forgot about. Like, for example, binding. You can't just put rockets next to one another and assume they'll stick to one another, right? No, you need to know what binding is, and then just things explode. So it's just a game of that where it's like everything, you need to make sure all the screws are tightened. You need to make sure it's like all the belts are like the right size for the right tire, for like the right like guides, like tank treads or whatever. But if you like, part of the joy is not necessarily fighting. It's just seeing them break apart and who breaks apart first.
So you this know, game's going to start off. I love the idea of the community of this because it's going to start off with people being like, big robot go clunk, 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 clunk. But then like by like 4 years into it, you're going to have people in the forums being like, it's pretty unrealistic that the Shining Finger Gundam can do this because if you check out the positioning of the shoulder plate, and like we are going to watch a community become the fucking pits.
Actually, no. I think what fascinates me more is that the community you've created just turned this into a fucking Gundam game.
Well, they'd be using
like,
it to try
hey,
to rebuild
Gundams. This was like
Gundams.
Meant to be about mechs, but people are just like, hey, I'm going to make the Angel Gundam, or the Death Guard Gundam, or the fucking Flaming Finger Gundam. By the way, Flaming Finger is not a choice name for a Gundam. That is a sexual thing, and nobody can tell me different.
If you give me the systems in Kerbal Space Program to build a giant robot, I'm going to try to build the Lancelot from Code Geass.
Okay, that's fair. I thought you were going to say the Gurren. I thought you were going to make Gurren Lagann.
They would never give me the resources needed to build a robot big enough.
I think you're just a quitter. This game is all about unlimited imagination, my guy. Actually, you know who I'd make if I can make a mech game? I'd make the Iron Giant. And then, his super move is that he just fucking explodes. he just walks over to people, says, I am Superman, and just detonates.
You got one more for me?
Yeah, hold on one second. All right. oh, God. Where is it? No, okay, I guess actually... I have one more. This one comes to us from Busto314. Pepsi Man's tragic backstory told in the form of Dance Dance Revolution game. AJ, do you know anything about Pepsi Man?
Yeah, he's the horrible, 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 bad mascot from Pepsi from like the 90s or something. I actually have no idea when or why he existed. I just know
like,
I hate
this
him.
This was like the chrome looking guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so.
His tragic backstory, by the way, is just that he was dancing really, really too close to a vat of Pepsi and he tripped and fell into it.
Yes.
I and like, so the Dance Dance Revolution game is just a dance dance game JoJo. On the hardest difficulty, but if you mess up, your character slips and falls into a giant vat of Pepsi.
Well, I feel like it's just a Dance Dance
Pepsi
Revolution
Clear,
game.
Specifically.
It's a Dance Dance Revolution game on Pepsi's, like, he had a fall in the 90s. Like, people
in
just
a vat
loving
of clear Pepsi?
No. Just, like, his career failed. His career failed, and this is his, like, rise to fame again, where he's going to become, like, a Dance Dance Revolution star and get hired by Pepsi again. So like AJ, that's his tragic thing. It's like he is no longer Pepsi Man. He's just Man, and it's just him trying to become Pepsi Man again because they dropped him in the 90s because they realized it was a horrible ad campaign.
Okay, wait.
So
they originally just had a dancer, a normal everyday dancer.
Mm-hmm.
He sucks. They get bored of him. Mm-hmm. Now he's on his rise again. He's on his uptick. He got mm-hmm. the Pepsi branding. Mm-hmm. He's on the Pepsi deal. He's dancing. He's having a good time. He locks a sponsored deal with Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
He's dancing. And like, I think the game is like kind of like a Guitar Hero game where like there's a story in the background about you getting bigger and badder venues.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is a guy dancing at bigger and badder things in the background of your Dance Dance Revolution game.
Yes.
But then the final level is like, you're at a Pepsi concert. You're dancing for them.
AJ,
it's an unwinnable level.
No.
Your character slips and falls into a vat of clear.
Super Bowl's sponsored by Pepsi, dude. Are you kidding me?
You're at the Super Bowl.
You're at the fucking
Everything's
Super Bowl.
Going
your
good.
Halftime show.
It is an unwinnable level, is mm-hmm. the thing about the last level of Crystal Pepsi Dance Dance Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Your character model slips in the background, falls into a vat of Crystal Pepsi, emerges as Pepsi Man.
I hate that you said Crystal Pepsi. Have you ever tried Crystal Pepsi? It's like drinking. It's like drinking ass. It really... don't like it. But yes, I do think Crystal Pepsi does have mutational powers. So the
you
game
remember that
ends
one game
on
Sunset
tragedy?
Overdrive that was just about like energy drinks giving mutation powers.
That game was pretty cool though. Like the movement mechanics in it were pretty rad.
It was a dope game. Damn, mm-hmm. Sunset Overdrive 2 win.
That was an Xbox 3. That was an Xbox One launch title, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like that was like an exclusive.
Yep.
God, I miss those.
Oh man, could you imagine launch titles? Fuck.
I mean I miss exclusives. Xbox One doesn't make it fucking exclusives anymore, AJ.
That's not true. They have Gears again.
Yeah, but that's a franchise. Like
one day they might have another Halo.
But that's a franchise, AJ. You know how many new titles we're getting on PS4 right now?
Bro, what about that hit Xbox One title ReCore? Everyone's favorite game ReCore.
God, that game really did not do well, did it? It wasn't that it was bad. It's just like nobody played it.
No one wanted to play it.
Yeah,
no,
like I guess the marketing wasn't really all that good. Like the trailers weren't that engrossing. I don't know. It gave me like really Enslaved vibes. Remember that game?
God, yeah, that I didn't like Enslaved.
I mean, the gameplay loop was boring as fuck, but like the story was pretty nice.
It was just sci-fi Journey to the West, wasn't it?
Basically, yeah.
Enslaved pulled the Treasure Planet system and said, what if we make a cool sci-fi look, and then just took an old story?
Yeah, but like...
Which is a good tactic.
But the main
That's what we're doing with our nugget this week.
Fair, but like, I feel like Monkey and his dynamic with the girl was actually really interesting. Like, I love...
Wait.
Like, stories...
His name is just Monkey?
Yeah, his name's just fucking Monkey, dude. Isn't that rad? Actually, AJ, you would love it because he's based off of the Monkey King. You know, like how Naruto.
Yeah, I know,
because
it's the thing's just journeyed to the West.
Yeah, so and that's like the coolest fucking thing. And you know what they do instead of giving him a tail? He just has like a scarf in his back pocket that looks like a tail.
That's really bitching.
It's his character design's so fucking good, but like the story of it is really interesting because I have like a weird like weak. I mean, not weak, but a weird affinity towards stories where like. People are reluctant to be in their situation, but by the end of the story, they realize that this is where they're meant to be, even though they hated being there at the beginning. And that's like there's this scene, spoilers, like this game's been out forever, but the whole-
Are you about to spoil the Journey to the West?
No, not Journey to the West, but like fucking Enslaved. Like the whole point is that this guy, Monkey, is given a slave headband and has to do everything the other main the main actress or main other main character says. And like, he fucking hates being there. But by the end of the game, he's like, he gets his headband removed, but he's like, no, I need this because I want to be here for you. And he puts it back on. And it's just like this really cool moving scene. And I love games like that. But
also, you look cooler with the headband.
He does look way cooler with the headband. So AJ, what's our nug, man?
Space Moby Dick.
Space.
I'm sorry, Whaleo. Whaleo is our nug this week.
No, I think Cat Girl Chipotle is way better. Cause just think of the branding, dude. Like, think of the art. Think of all the fun, like, little things we can do at Chipotle instead of like just their boring ass Chipotle wrapping paper. Part of their marketing campaign is all the burrito wrapping just has cat girls on it.
Man, we gotta start finding a system for what to do when we come to odds at the end here, huh?
Yeah, like maybe we could do. Is there like a quick game we can play that can be done in like two sentences? Like we play a game to decide our game?
Yeah. Here's what we're gonna do.
All right, tell me about it.
We're each going to say one thing about our game that we think makes it a real nuggability. We right now get to add a wrinkle to each of these games.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever one makes the other one laugh more will be the game that we choose.
Mm-hmm.
So we really got to put our nose to the grindstone and really come up with a good, funny ha-ha.
Mm-hmm. It's just one word?
Well, one thing, like a buzzword. Like, what's something you could add to this game that would really just knock it out?
I know mine already.
All right, what do you got?
Outfits, AJ.
Outfits are very good.
Outfits, you could design your own fucking... It's like a fashion designer. Like a cat... Imagine a cat girl cafe, but everything's like steampunk. And they all have like sweet like goggles and shit like that. People would eat that shit up. I would go to a cat girl cafe.
So you're proposing like a little bit of a progression system. Like this is a co-op long... Asymmetric co-op long-term game.
Yes, and you can design the look of your restaurant. Not just like a little one-off session that you play. You can design the look of the outfits, and I don't want it to get fucking like weird and sexual and gross. I want it to be like actual fun, like outfits. Like, hey, what if we do a thing where everybody's like in Halloween costumes? Like everybody's like a different theme. Like one person's like a stone golem. One person's like a witch. One person's a skeleton. I want to do fun shit like that.
If there's a progression system and like we expect people to be in this game for a little while, what's the end goal? What is the end goal for the Chipotle?
You gotta sell more over this. The game takes place within one quarter of a sales season. At the end of the game, you need to have sold more than Catboy Sharkies. And you can sell more by like having a variety of outfits. So it'd be like you can start doing themed days. You can also do like a moonlighter system where you can maybe even adjust the pricing of like you could do sales. You could be like buy two burritos, get one free, and it becomes like a shop simulator as well as a like having to manage herd cats basically to make burritos.
You know what? Yeah, I'm actually very interested in this game that like kind of like the idea of like a business simulator where you have to be managing it co-op, right? Because then all of a sudden, like you don't just get to make decisions. Like the decisions that you make as the one managing the Chipotle is going to affect me, the supervisor of the Chipotle, trying to herd these cats.
This is a joint operation. Like we're two friends that were like, we found this $1 million idea of Cat Girl Chipotle. And we're pursuing that venture.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I'm into it.
Yeah,
actually.
Dude, hell yeah. Do we want to look at boss fights this week? Could we look at boss fights and be like, maybe these are some opposing restaurants that you have to like
Let's look at boss fights and see what jumps out to us.
Okay. For those that don't know, boss fights is our Patreon Discord channel where you can submit boss ideas that we include in every episode. I opened it up, and from Deku Scrub, we see just a muscly dude wearing a jacket, and instead of a human head, it's just a cat head. So,
okay, this brings up... Okay, so the game is marketed as Cat Girl Chipotle.
Yes.
There's a recruitment system.
Yeah.
Like, you can recruit different people, right? Like, you can get, like, a really, really buff dude with a cat head.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come with his own issues that the... He's going to come up with his own issues that the floor manager is going to have to deal with. But he's going to come up with so many perks and bonuses that the manager gets.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO gets. We got to figure out how to differentiate these two people between the...
Like the two players that are running this game?
Yes.
I think you can do the CEO and the CFO, or just like just the co-owners. What if
CEO and floor manager? The CEO is the one that's playing like the manager game.
Well, I think you could just do two managers.
And the floor manager is the one that's doing the VR. We need to differentiate the terminology just so that when we're explaining this.
Okay, so CEO and floor manager. Okay, yeah. I'm down with that.
So the buff cat is going to come up with all of these perks for the CEO, right? Like, he's not going to take that much money when you hire him. He's going to be able to lift all the boxes in the back room really easily. He's going to make some of the timers a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically...
The problem for the floor manager, though, is that he's so very big and he takes up two spaces. Like, I can't, as the floor manager, I can't get another cat girl in his station. It's just him the whole time if he's in the beans place.
And he doesn't move. He just stands in the corner with his arms crossed, just like huffing and puffing. It's like, he's like, or doing those weird noises. You know, like when cats see birds, they do the, that sound. You ever seen cats do that? He's just doing that in the corner to themselves.
And I, as the floor manager, like, I cannot have you as the CEO place him in the meat section, because that means that as the floor manager, I have to keep constant tabs on him to make sure that he's not stealing the meats and trying to get extra gains on the claw.
The idea of just a cat girl being placed at a cooking station, but also like helping themselves to the food is just such a, it's just such a health hazard.
It's going to happen every now and again. And the big buff cat guy is going to be going for the gains all the time. I have to keep him off of those chickens and beefs.
Okay. That's what I see. Another thing. This is a customer from Elise, ancient meme archaeologist. It's a little, I think an iguana, no, a bearded gecko just inside of a Lego city. I'm going to use that as just like, you have to make sure that OSHA, you know, like the OSHA building facility that goes in and makes sure companies are running their things safely. OSHA is run by bearded geckos. So you need to make sure your restaurant.
It's the lizard people that run the government.
So you need to make sure that your restaurant is being run safely and the workstations and stuff are clean. So that adds, like, that's something the floor manager also has to do, because OSHA can come in at any time. Like, maybe they come in once a week, but you don't know what time they're coming in. So there's like a random thing where it's like, real life, like, you don't know when they're going to come in and like make sure things are running fine, or like corporate is going to send in a person, you know, like how they send in those like people to act like their customers just to see what their experience is like. You get that, but like the tell is that they're a lizard. So, you know, like,
so I have to make sure that their experience is very good.
Yes. So like a lizard comes in and enters your line for a burrito, you got to make sure that experience is damn good for them.
And that's something that the floor manager needs to catch, right? The floor manager, because they're in the VR, they're going to see the lizard tail. They have to be mindful, and then they have to let the CEO know, and they got to be like, hey, we have a lizard person in here. You need to make sure that we have a very, very good speaker on the cash register. Don't put the cat head guy at the cash register. He can't speak English.
He just growls at people.
He just growls and hisses. And that's fine when it's like rush hour, but it's not fine right now.
Oh, shit. Awesome. Okay, that's our nug. We ready for patch notes?
I'm ready for patch notes, yeah.
Sweet. Also, it's just called Cat Girl Chipotle.
Just called Cat Girl Chipotle, yeah.
Fucking sweet. Rolls off the tongue great.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. This week, Blake and I are continuing our efforts to raise voices that we think really need to be raised and push groups and agendas that we think could use some more push.
Mm-hmm.
For today, I wanted to go ahead and push a project that I found out recently called the Okra Project. Essentially, at its core, it is a group that pays trans black chefs to go in and cook for trans black families.
That's rad.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really cool idea. I had only heard about it recently, and it was never something that I really even considered as something to do, but it's a really cool way to put people that like are pursuing that as a career in a position where they can help out people. I think it's a really, really neat thing.
Yeah, hell yeah. And then for me, I am just going to be including a link to a site where you can get a whole bunch of info on just kind of what's going on right now and places that require donations and other things. I believe it's a card that it's been making its rounds around Twitter. It's just something to get informed.
Is this the Black Lives Matter card?
Yes.
Or is this
the Black Lives Matter card?
Awesome. Yeah. Let's again, these are important things that need to be funded. We need to make sure that when we do go back to normal, that it's not back. It's a new normal. That
it's a safer place for everybody. That's really, you know, like, we're a jokey haha podcast, but like, there's bigger things than this going on. And I think it's, we need to do our part and share that information. And I think my family is now playing shit on the major TV. I apologize. I think that's the sign that I need to wrap up. I love you all. Happy Pride Month.
Thank you all so much for listening. I have been AJ Hart.
And I have been Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made. Hey, AJ, you want to go grab a bite at Cat Girl Chipotle?
I'm on my way to Cat Girl Chipotle right now.
Fuck yeah, see you there.